big technology companies have been a target for both Republicans and Democrats in Congress in recent years. Last week, a package of antitrust bills aimed at big companies like Google, Facebook, and Apple cleared their first hurdle by making it past the House Judiciary Committee. The six bills would do things like make it harder for companies to buy up competitors, bar them from using their platforms to unfairly promote their own products, and make it easier for people to move their data from one company's device to another. The bills have some bipartisan support, but lawmakers in both parties have also voiced concerns about the proposals, so their fate in the House is up in the air. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you want to see Congress take antitrust action against big technology companies? What concerns specifically do you have about how they operate and what they're doing? Do you have questions about what our antitrust laws do and don't say and to what extent they can be used in these situations? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. John Mayo is a professor of economics, business, and public policy at Georgetown University's McDonough School of Business. He is also the executive director of the Georgetown Center for Business and Public Policy and an expert on economics and antitrust law. John, welcome to Central Time.
Rob, it's nice to be here. Thank you very much.
There's a lot of detail in these six proposals, but I want to start big picture. Is there an antitrust problem that needs solving when it comes to these big technology companies?
Well, I think that really remains to be seen. The discipline of economics would tell us that monopoly problems most typically would manifest themselves in things like high prices, low innovation, stifled output, low quality, for instance. So I think the filter from an economist's perspective is to ask yourself the question, are these manifestations appearing in the tech sector from Google, Amazon, Apple, and so on? Are prices high, innovation low, output stifled, quality low? The study really needs yet to be done if you're going to really definitively answer that question. But at first blush, anyway, I think most people would say this is the very sector of our economy that has had exactly the opposite manifestations, that prices have been low and falling, that innovation's been quite high, output has exploded in this area, and quality's been quite high. So to the extent that these bills have arisen and have been motivated, it's a little tough from a traditional antitrust perspective to understand why they have arisen.
There has been the argument, John, I think from some, that maybe the old rules don't apply to technology companies the way they did, say, to an oil or steel company or something like that, that by the very nature of high technology industries, they're different. The concerns are different. What do you think of that broad notion?
Well, that's a tried and true argument, actually. It's been offered in a variety of sectors over the course of 100 years of antitrust. Different industries will say, or assert, this sector of the economy, whatever it is, this particular sector, the rail industry, the telecommunications industry, here the technology industry, just operates differently than the rest of the economy. So the traditional antitrust rules really don't capture fully the ability to make sure that they behave competitively. Now, over time, I will tell you that by and large, the antitrust laws have been really quite fluid in their enforcement and have captured the changes that have happened in our economy as it's evolved. So by and large, we've avoided technology-specific or sector-specific antitrust laws. We've really just generally operated on the basic premise that antitrust laws are designed to promote competition broadly in the economy and to advance the cause of consumers.
Talking to John Mayo from Georgetown University's McDonough School of Business, looking at a package of laws in the U.S. House aimed at least nibbling around the edges of changing antitrust laws when it comes to big technology companies. Think of the Facebooks, Googles, Apples, and more. You can join in with your thoughts on that idea or your questions at 800-642-1234. John, I want to start digging into the specific changes that are proposed here. One looks at mergers. It can make it harder for a company to acquire a potential competitor, also raising merger fees when that happens. That's been one criticism. I think the idea that we don't know if innovation is being stifled because, you know, Facebook, if they see a potential competitor, they buy them out. So we don't know what the competition might have been like. What do you think of that idea?
Well, the idea of anti-competitive practices arising from buying a nascent competitor are already part of the antitrust laws. The Federal Trade Commission and the Department of Justice have the authority today to go after companies to the extent that they do that. In this particular instance, there was a package of bills that, as you mentioned, just advanced through the House Judiciary Committee. Some of the bills are relatively innocuous on this. Some of them are a little more profound and substantive. On the more innocuous side, one of the bills will do is to give increased funding to the antitrust authorities to pursue merger challenges, including those that you just discussed, which would be a nascent competition case. So that's a pretty innocuous one that I think you're going to find really quite a bit of support for. Another one of the bills, though, in the package would really be much, much more profound and substantive, effectively imposing a guilty until proven innocent standard on firms, any firm in the tech sector that is covered, so that if the firm were to try to merge with any tech company that's covered by the bill, tried to merge with another company, that merger would be under a standard that says the burden of proof would be on the tech company itself rather than on the plaintiff, in this case the government or a private party, to block the merger. And that's a pretty profound change.
Another change, I think this one mostly targeting Amazon, for example. Anti-competitive behavior, the accusation is when, say, I sell widgets on Amazon, Robco brand widgets. Amazon notices they're doing pretty well. They come up with their store brand of widgets, and then when our customer searches for them, they bump theirs to the top of the search results, or the concern, at least, that they could do that. Could you talk about that as a focus of these laws? Is this an anti-competitive problem that needs to be solved?
Yeah, great question. Today, and generally, it's not prohibited for a company to sell or promote its own, let's call them house brands. So, for example, if you're shopping at Costco, Costco offers the Kirkland store brand to compete against other products that are offered by retailers. Now, if you go to Walmart, Walmart has store brands that compete, let's say, against Procter & Gamble products. In general, house brands really have been shown to help create competition and bring prices down. So generally speaking, you'd think this is, from an economics perspective, a very good thing. At the same time, if a firm today uses a monopoly position to anti-competitively harm competition by excluding competitors, then the antitrust authorities can and have brought monopolization suits against the private party. So this issue of self-preferencing could be a very real issue. And the Department of Justice and the Federal Trade Commission actually already have the authority to do this under the general antitrust laws. What this bill or a package of bills would do is to specifically target the tech sector in this space.
Let's bring on a caller now at 800-642-1234 with Mike in West Allis. Mike, hi.
Hi. Thanks for this topic. I enjoy talking about technology. But if we go all the way back to like when Microsoft was told that they need to unload the Internet Explorer from the Windows operating system, and we look at how technology has gone through these lawsuits after lawsuits, and they've yielded nothing. in reality. I don't ever see that, except that the consumer ultimately always pays if that's it. They've never harmed anyone. I don't think that. I think that we have this model of the auto industry in the 20s and trying to push that cookie cutter on top of a tech sector that is so much more, you know, amoebic and moves in so many different ways. And tech companies almost start to be bought by other tech companies in a way. There's a whole sector of that. And so it just seems like we're trying to fit an old kind of system onto this new technology, and it just doesn't seem to work right. It doesn't yield, I think, what we're looking for, and I'm kind of confused why we keep going after tech companies when we, especially Americans, are so dependent on technology moving at blistering speed so that we always have the latest and greatest. And it's in a way, it's why stifle this?
Mike, thanks for the call. John, what do you think?
Well, I think, Mike, you make some very good points. The business models themselves are changing really, really rapidly these days, especially in the tech space. And that has a lot of people scratching their heads about whether the new practices that they've adopted or are adopting are economically helpful or economically harmful. I think your point is really well taken, that it would be a real problem if what we did is to condemn new business models simply because we don't understand them. And we've seen some evidence that certainly in political circles, we don't always understand these new business models. And what we need to do maybe is to focus on consumer harm. Is there a consumer harm here? And a harm to competition, as opposed to just simply something that is new and scary. Also happens to be beneficial in a number of instances as well. So it could be both.
We're picking up our talk now with John Mayo, expert in antitrust law and a professor of economics, business, and public policy at Georgetown, looking at a group of new bills in Congress aimed at curbing the power of big technology companies. You can join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas@wpr.org. Let us know what you think about the power of big technology companies, if you're worried or you're glad, you think you're getting good benefit out of that. 800-642-1234 is the number to call. John, some of the motivation for these changes seems to be non-economic in nature. I hear people on the left in Congress worried about the influence, the way ideas could spread on the Facebooks, especially of the world, in political culture. Conservatives also having the same concern, worried that conservative voices, they say, are stifled. Both agreeing, though, that these are Facebook in particular, I think, has this really dominant influence on the spread of information in the country. Is that something worth thinking about in the context of antitrust?
Great question, Rob. I think this, you've just put your finger on a very important area. Earlier in our discussion, I mentioned that if you tried to put a traditional focus of antitrust, of competition and consumer welfare on the tech sector, you sort of are challenged to say they're creating a real monopoly problem in this country. So if you start to look elsewhere, then what you see is from, let's say, the conspiracy wing of the Republican Party is irritated that platform companies have moderated free speech content. There's a concern by folks on the left that big companies are driving income inequality. There's a concern about the death of many small businesses at the same time that tech has grown up. And there's concerns about whether these large companies simply have too much political power. All of those are things that perhaps society should address. But the real question here is whether antitrust is an appropriate tool. Are we going to use a hammer instead of a screwdriver to solve the problem that the screw needs to get screwed into the wall?
In the case of content moderation, the bills really just don't address content privacy or content issues at all. It's none of the particular bills address the issue of content moderation. On income inequality, economists have traditionally pointed towards tax policy as being a far better tool than antitrust. For small businesses, you might think, gosh, is the role of competition or is the role of antitrust to protect small businesses per se or to promote a dynamic economy in which companies that come into the market thrive if they are efficient and do a good job and fail if they don't? And that's been part and parcel of our system for 200 years, and it's worked pretty well. And on the issue of political power, these are very large companies, and there may be legitimate concerns about the political power that they wield. But the question here is whether campaign finance reform might be a better tool. So there's, I think, going to be a pause at this juncture and maybe have folks asking the question, are there better vehicles to solve these problems than the antitrust hammer?
You briefly mentioned privacy there, and I think that's a concern some people have. If they want to participate in Facebook, they have to accept the terms of service and the idea that our data is out there and in the hands of someone else. I shouldn't pick just on Facebook, Amazon, Google, you name it. Is this a case where maybe more competition would, if there was a better alternative for somebody to break into one of these industries and say, hey, we're going to do what they do, but give you more privacy? Are we missing that? Is that an element of competition we're missing?
It would be really nice. It would be a lovely story if in fact, additional competition and the competition for quality and consumers' demand and desires for data privacy would drive that phenomena. It's not altogether clear that that's going to happen. You can imagine if there were two or three Facebooks, Facebook, Lacebook, and Notebook, if they were, would three companies solve the data privacy problem? I'd love it if that were the case, but we haven't really seen any indication that that's the case. In fact, as you may know, the companies themselves are in a particularly awkward position of asking for government regulation in this space. I think they themselves are asking for this. It's not clear that antitrust measures will solve that problem, but perhaps it will take a government action of some sort to do so.
Talking to John Mayo, economics professor at Georgetown University, looking at antitrust laws and big technology companies. A package of legislation in the House still has a ways to go before it would become a reality. John, I saw news today, an announcement from the Biden administration saying, hey, we're going to do a little more antitrust enforcement, not just focusing on technology, also so-called vertical integrations. When, say, a pharmacy company like CVS merges with a health insurance provider, say, for example, there is, I think, a general perception or often a perception that the government has backed away from antitrust, that they're asleep at the switch in some ways. Fair or not fair to say that?
That is part of the narrative. It turns out that a common claim is that one of the reasons we need this new set of antitrust laws is that the antitrust enforcers at the Department of Justice and the Federal Trade Commission simply haven't been enforcing the existing laws. It turns out that in research that I did with colleagues here at Georgetown University, we looked at every merger that has been proposed since 1979, coming forward to 2020, and asked the question, what's actually happened to the probability of a merger challenge by the antitrust authorities over time? And according to the narrative, what you would expect is that the FTC and the Department of Justice have challenged fewer mergers. A lower percentage of mergers would be challenged. In fact, the likelihood of a challenge has actually doubled over time. And that's really in contrast to the narrative. It doesn't mean, however, the other thing that we found in our research is that if you want to see more enforcement, and this is no surprise, that if you increase agency budgets, they'll challenge more mergers. And that is part of the, I know the Biden administration's effort is to put some more money in the hands of the antitrust authorities. And even under the existing statutes, what you're going to see is more antitrust enforcement if they get larger budgets.
John, we'll leave it there. Thanks a lot for joining us today.
I sure appreciate you having me on. Thank you very much, Rob.
John Mayo is professor of economics, business, and public policy at Georgetown University and director of Georgetown's Center for Business and Public Policy. He talked with us today about a package of 6 antitrust bills aimed at big technology companies. Those were approved by the House Judiciary Committee last week. Still have a ways to go on the floor of the House. And then there's always the Senate, too.